I want you to turn to Luke 15. You're probably already there. Yesterday we spoke. Last night we preached on the subject, the profile of a sinner and the effects of his sin. Today we're going to take a twist and we're going to look at the profile of a pretender and the effects of his sin. I'm afraid our churches is full of a lot of pretenders. They know the formalities of church. How do you know so much about it, preacher? Because I was there. I wasn't saved till I was 17 years old. I don't know what happened in the younger years. I was raised in a Christian home. Gabby, raised in a Christian home. Our brother from Texas said the same thing. Raised in a Christian home. And now they're here. Shane, raised in a Christian home. And he's here. What's going on? We're living in a generation of religion. You say, well, I like religion. Well, it was the religious folk that put Jesus to the cross. And we're making mockery out of religion. We're making mockery out of Christianity. We're making mockery out of the church house. We're making mockery out of preachers that say they are preachers, and then when they get out here in the world, they don't live like preachers. People that say that they are Christians and they get out in the world and instead of shining their light, they blend in like camouflage with the crowd. You say, you really believe this boy was like that? I absolutely believe there's enough Scripture to prove that he was an A number one pretender. You say, buddy, he lived in the Father's house. Oh yeah, we come to the Father's house every Sunday. But he worked in the Father's field. Yeah, I was part of the youth group. I sang in the choir. I played a bass guitar. I sang all kind of hymnals and songs. I was with the young people. My daddy would even make me go to the senior citizens meetings. That's how bad we were. I was ate up with it. Even today, they can start playing a song, a hymnal, out of the church hymnal. And as soon as the song starts playing, I know what they're going to sing. It's been drove in my head all my life. I know the Scriptures. I can say them backwards. I know all about that. But up to 17, I pretended. And I believe this boy is a genuine pretender. What do you mean by a pretender? I'm talking about those wolves in sheep's clothing. You know how to do. You come and impress Mom and Daddy. You come here on Sunday. You sit up straight and listen. You know how to act. You know how to move. You know the groove. You know how to do around church people. You know how to shake the preacher's hand and smile and then leave here and act like a demon. What's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong. As Sammy Allen says, if there's been no change, there has been no change. No change, no change. What do you mean by change? You will change the way you walk. You'll change the way you talk. You'll change the places you go. You will change your appearance. You will change if God truly lives in your heart. You say, well, I don't agree with them Baptists. Not asking you to agree with a Baptist as much as I'm asking you to agree with the Bible. And if there has been a change, then there will be a change in your outward appearance and in your heart. You say, well, I got you there, preacher. God does not look on the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. And you're exactly right in saying so. But man cannot see your heart. So therefore, you have to live right on the outside so man can see that God is in your heart. Amen. Not the message, just the introduction. Just kind of getting the tractor cranked. All right? Y'all okay so far? The profile of a pretender. Somebody that's pretending. Somebody that's straddling the fence. Somebody that's a Sunday Christian and not a Monday Christian. Oh my. I wrote this down. Just as King Agrippa was almost persuaded. Just as Judas saw all the miracles of Jesus but didn't make it. We are sitting among people probably today. I'm convinced there's people here today that are living a lie. You're living as a pretender. You're putting on a front, but you ain't got it. Why can't I live it, preacher? Why can't I act it, preacher? You know these people, they'll come in, they'll feel a little funny, feel a little flittering in their heart, and they come down here and cry a little bit, and then they say they got saved, and in 1 month you can't find them. Y'all have any like that in y'all's church? Could I help you out? It's not that they didn't get enough counseling while they were down here. It's not that you didn't run them through a discipleship program. It's not that they didn't join the newcomers class. The problem is they didn't get saved. Because if you get saved, my friend, there will be a change. There'll be a desire to be at the house of God. There'll be a desire to leave this world behind. There'll be a desire to shed sin like a snake sheds his skin. Huh? That's right. That's right. Talking about the profile of a pretender. Where do you see this, preacher? Luke chapter number 25. Now, you know what's going on. There's a big party going on. The prodigal son has just come home. I've heard a lot of preachers preach this guy into heaven. I'm fixing to preach him toward hell. Are you ready? Lot of partying going on. The prodigal has come home. The fatted calf has been killed. They're fixing to have a Jewish celebration. They're fixing to have a Jewish get-together. They're fixing to have confetti going all over the place. The father's son has come to the house. And we get to verse number 25 now. His elder son was in the field. There he is. He's doing all the work. His other brother's out of partying. He's in the field. He's in church every Sunday. He's in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Y'all see that? He heard music and dancing. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Number one, the reason I feel like he was a pretender, he could not enjoy the music. He could not enjoy the music. Where do you see that, preacher? About verse number 27, he finds out what the music's about. Verse 26, he called one of the servants and asked what these things mean. Tell me the meaning of the song. That's what he's saying. Tell me the meaning of the song. The servant said, he said unto him, thy brother's come. The father's killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And the Bible said he was angry. He couldn't enjoy the music. I'm not necessarily talking about the beat. I'm not necessarily talking about the shaking of the tambourines or the blowing of the trumpets. I'm talking about the message. And there's a great possibility. If you can come to a church house and you can hear songs like, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And it don't grab a hold of your heart. Something is wrong with you. Huh? Songs like when that old account was settled. And songs about heaven. And songs about the blood. And songs about Christ and what He done on Calvary's cross. And songs that Miss Trudy and them sung a while ago. The dearest friend I ever had. Songs, if that don't affect you, you need to check up because you could be a pretender. He couldn't enjoy the music. He could not enjoy the music. Bible said he is angry. He wouldn't go in. Brothers return home. It ought to upset you if you don't enjoy people being saved. Yeah. Nowadays, you say somebody got saved, it's like, praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Well, praise God. Huh? It ought to thrill our hearts. It ought to bubble up on the inside. Like our brother from Florida talking about his son when he got saved. You could just see him a-bubbling. Something was happening in that daddy because that boy got saved. That's what I'm talking about. A jubilancy within your heart. It ought to thrill us when somebody gets born again. Oh, I know. I know the kind of music you like. You like something that's got the beat to it. Let me go ahead and mark it down how I feel about it. You can say yay or nay. It don't matter to me. I'll be leaving here shortly and you can have at it. But I do not believe in Christian rock. I don't believe in Christian rap. Amen. Amen? I don't even believe them two words need to be together. Amen. We've come into a generation who likes this contemporary garbage, and they like to sway back and forth and repeat words several times and just act like they've got it, but they don't have it. It's about Jesus. It's about His blood. It's about the resurrection. It's all about Him. It has nothing to do with what you can do. Son, I feel like preaching. Y'all better hold on. Woo! That clock's backing up as we speak. That's right. That is right. And there's a great possibility you listen to that garbage and it's in your head. You're probably a pretender. You're probably a pretender. Oh, I've seen it happen among my own young people at the church. I see them, they get up there and sing in the choir about blood songs and heaven songs and Jesus songs. Then they go out there and crank it up to something else as soon as they get in their car. I wonder what we would find if we went to your car. Wonder what station it would be on. Wonder what kind of CDs you've got. I'm not here to preach on music, but I'm feeling nudged. The Holy Ghost is pushing me on the back. It's happened in our generation. And we're calling it all right. Hey, you'll never see light and darkness mixed in the Bible. Huh? You'll never see oil and water come together. You'll never see Christian and rock come together either. And God be in it. This boy couldn't enjoy the music. He heard the music. He heard singing. He heard dancing. But he couldn't enjoy it. He couldn't enjoy the message. Why couldn't he? He's a pretender. It's not enough evidence for me, Brother Carl. I need to know more. Just because he didn't enjoy the music, there's more. He couldn't engage in fellowship. Where's that at? The Bible said he is angry and would not go in. Y'all see that? I'm angry. I'm not fellowshipping with them. You know, it bothers me around our church. We have a lot of eating meetings. I like that. We fellowship a lot. We have hot dogs and spaghetti suppers and we meet and eat a lot. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And we enjoy doing that. But we've got people. We've got people in our church. We've got people in our church that they back in instead of pull in. You ever seen them? And they park out close to the road. And as soon as I say, amen, they hightail it out the back door. That car's already running. Put it in drive and they head to the house. And I think to myself, my goodness. Now I understand probably some football game's on or they want to hurry and get home. Might even have to get up and go to work early in the morning. I don't know. But people like that bother me that don't ever want a fellowship. And we've got young people that don't want to fellowship. You don't want to fellowship with your mom and daddy. You don't want to fellowship even with your brothers and sisters. You sit at the supper table and you pout and pooch your lip out and make everybody think you're the big shot. Then you get around your friends and you act different and you smile and you cut up. You treat your friends, brothers and sisters, better than you treat your own. You don't want a fellowship. You know what fellowship is? It's two fellas in the same ship. You just might not be in the same ship this church is in. You just might not be in the same boat that we're in. That boat that's heading home. You might not be in it. I'm afraid under the sound of my voice, we have pretenders. He would not engage in his brother's fellowship. His brothers come home. Here's what John said. First John said this. If we say that we have fellowship with Him. Listen, this is Bible here. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, the Bible said we ain't nothing but a bunch of liars. Fellowship with Him. If you have fellowship with Him, you'll have fellowship this way. Let me illustrate. You have fellowship this way, you'll have fellowship this way. If you don't ever want to extend the hand of fellowship to your brother, there's a great possibility you don't have fellowship with him. Why do you say that? You want to impress me? You want to impress me? It's not by going and buying all my CDs and stuff. It's not even coming up to me and saying, Brother Partey, that's just been wonderful. God bless you. Although that's flattering and I enjoy it and it does encourage. You want to impress me? Grab a hold of one of my youngins and say, son, that was good singing. Kids, boy, that was wonderful. I'm telling you, you've done a good job. You want to get a daddy's heart? Get my kids and love them. You want to get a daddy's heart? Do something good for my kids. Then you'll grab my heart. What are you saying, preacher? Oh, I think you've already arrived. Huh? You want to hug the Father? Hug one of His own. Hug somebody that belongs to Him. You want to wrap your hands around Jesus this morning? You want to hug Him? Hug one of His brothers. Then you're touching Jesus. It's the heart of God. It's what we're here for. It's all about Him. Oh, my. I want a big old hug from God. All I've got to do is hug Brother Scott. That's right. Brother Scott's one of His. It belongs to Him. And God looks us, brothers, fellowshipping together, and He smiles on it. Jerry's preaching this morning about the kissing. Lord, I thought that'd be a good Valentine's message. And I might even do it myself. That was great. Right before Valentine's. Valentine's falls on a Wednesday night. Might be a good Wednesday night prayer service meeting. Preach on kissing. You'll get them in there then, won't you? But he's preaching about kissing, the kissings of the Bible, and illustrating those kissings. I remember I was in a meeting in Virginia. Talking about fellowship now. Keep that in your mind. Talking about fellowship. I was in a meeting with T.D. Burgess. I don't know if you know Brother T.D. He does a lot of different kind of meetings. And me and Brother T.D. just happened to be together in Marion, Virginia. And I was up on stage, had just got done doing what I'd done, and Brother T.D. had turned around on the front bench and was down on his knees and had his head buried up in the bench. And he was crying. And he was crying uncontrollably. You could see him bouncing literally up off the floor from where he was going. Brokenhearted. Brokenhearted. I mean brokenhearted. And I stepped down off the platform, and I got about right here. And the Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, "Kiss him on the cheek." I said, "I ain't kissing no man." I mean, in my heart, you know, I said that. I thought, well, he's down there crying. Lord, he's praying. I can't bother him. Holy Spirit said, "Kiss him on the cheek." And I went down there, and I knelt down beside him. I said, "Brother T.D., I said, I love you." And I kissed him on the cheek. And then he started bouncing higher. I didn't think anything about it. I just done what the Lord wanted me to do, I felt like. That's all I done. Went and sat down. Brother T.D. was next. He got up and stumbled up there, still a squalling. And he got up there and he laid his Bible down. He just laid over the pulpit. Just crying uncontrollably. This is what he said. He said, "I was in my motel room today asking the Lord what to preach tonight." He said, "And I just began to worship Him in my motel room." Now, I don't know how you feel about this. Don't really care. But here we go. T.D. Burgess said, "I was in my motel room." He said, "And he got in the motel with me. And I felt the presence of God in there with me in that motel room." He said, "And He put His hand on me and I felt the anointing of God on me and in that room." He said, "And I just began to kiss into the air." He said, "That's what He done." He said, "I began to say, I love you, Jesus." He said, "I wasn't there to impress nobody. I was by myself." He said, "I kept saying, I love you, Holy Ghost. I love you, God. I love you, Jesus." He said, "And I worshiped for 30 minutes. Kissing into the air." But here's the kicker. He said, "When that young man come off of that platform and kissed me on the cheek," he said, "the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, 'That's me kissing you back, T.D. That's me kissing you back, T.D. What are you saying? Oh, I'm not God and I'm not the Holy Spirit, but He uses us. My goodness, I got to get these chill bumps off my back. He uses people like us, people as rotten and as fleshly as us. He used these lips to transform and transfer a kiss. What are you talking about? I'm talking about fellowship. We know we've passed from death into life because we love the brethren. We greet them with a holy kiss. Huh? Amen. Fellowship. This boy wouldn't engage in fellowship. Lets me know he's a pretender. He's a pretender. I'm not going in. I'm not going to that church. They have hypocrites. So does Walmart. So does the grocery store. So does your bank. But you just keep it going, don't you? By the way, it's biblical to have hypocrites in your church. Absolutely, it's Bible. Because one day the Lord's coming back and He's going to separate them. They said, Lord, what do? We got tares among the wheat. What do? You going to start ripping them out? Oh no, don't do that. You'll rip up some good Christians. He said, just wait. There's going to be a big harvest day. And I know what's right and what's wrong. I'll separate them. Huh? Yeah, it's biblical. Just preach to them. He couldn't enjoy the music. He would not engage in fellowship. I didn't finish my scripture. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Amen. I wrote this down. Could not enjoy the music. Would not engage in fellowship. And He could not extend mercy. This boy couldn't extend mercy. The servant said, your brother's home. He's been out there in the world. He's come home. He's back home now. The Father has received him safe and sound. They're having a party. Why don't you come join us? And he wouldn't extend mercy to even his own brother. He would not go in. He's angry. Angry. Wouldn't extend mercy. Listen, I'll say this and move on to the next point. I've got to hurry. If you have ever had mercy extended to you, if you've ever had the second chance, third, fourth, tenth, you'll extend it. And if it's not in you to extend it, there's a great possibility you're pretending. And independent Baptists are bad about it. I'm sorry, I am one of them. But they're bad about it. They won't extend mercy to somebody. They won't extend. God will extend grace to them, but they won't extend grace to nobody else. God will show them mercy, but when it comes to others, they say, oh no, we're not giving Him mercy. Huh? We're bad about it. If you've ever had mercy shed on you, you'll give it. If you've ever been forgiven, you'll show forgiveness. You know what? Oh, I've done this the other day. I was studying in my office at the house, and I was reading about, you know, that 490 times Peter said, how often am I to forgive my brother? He said, 70 times 7. And I've heard preachers use that and say, well, that don't literally mean 490 times. That's just showing how much and how extensive we're to forgive people. But I got to reading. I ain't got time to deal with this. Oh, Lord, I shouldn't have started. When the Bible said that David, let me do it real quick. Give me 5 minutes. When the Bible said that David behaved himself wisely, you remember that? Four times mentioned in 1 Samuel. Bible said Saul was there and Saul hated his guts, but David behaved himself wisely. That's one Hebrew phrase. That's one word in the Hebrew. King James had to put that in English and he didn't quite have the word, so he had to use three words in our English language to fulfill that Hebrew word. You understand that? Behaved yourself wisely. It means to lay your hands down without defense. That's what it literally means. To lay your hands down without defense. And I got to thinking about our Lord. And I got to thinking about how Jesus laid His hands down on Calvary's cross without defense. And I got to preaching on that. And did you know, I added up. If that cat of nine tails, that Roman whip that had the handle on it, had possibly, according to Jewish custom, according to when the Jews changed it from the Roman law, it had 12 strops on it, possibly 13. And if there was 12 to 13 straps with glasses, pieces of glass at the end of that strop, and they whipped Him 39 times, it was 468 times. And if you'll add them up in the Bible, the times that they slapped Him, we're getting pretty close to 490. I hadn't studied it out real good yet, so you'll have to look at it. I'm not telling you that it is 490, but I've seen that and it got bigger and bigger. Could it possibly mean that when Jesus said 70 times 7, He looked in the future and saw Himself being whipped at least 490 times? And if I can do that for you, you can do that for others? If you've ever had grace shown to you, you will show grace. And if you can't show grace and mercy, you probably haven't been saved. And you're a pretender. Well, here's the other one. He could not enjoy the music. He would not engage in fellowship. He could not extend mercy. He had no excuse for his mistake. Where do you see that? He has no excuse for the way he's acting. Why? Because the father done something for him that he never done for the other boy. The Bible said the boy was angry. He would not go in, so the father came out. He wouldn't go to get the prodigal son. Why is he going out and extending mercy to this elder boy? Huh? He done something for him that he didn't even do for the younger boy. But let me tell you something. Christ done something for you that God didn't even do for Christ. What do you mean by that? God done something for us that He didn't even extend His only begotten. You remember when darkness fell upon the earth and they blanketed, Jesus and God blanketed up together, and He said, Father, why have You forsaken Me? But then He promised you He'd never leave you. He'd never forsake you. He said, matter of fact, I'll be with you to the end of the world. He promised something to you that He didn't even promise to His only begotten Son. He forsook Christ, but He'll never forsake you. This boy's getting something done to him that the younger boy didn't even get. I'm angry. I'm not going in. So therefore, the father comes out, and the King James uses that word, entreated him. You look it up, it means he spoke softly to him. Spoke softly. This boy's in a rage. He's mad. He's angry. And the daddy comes out and says, Son, what could possibly be wrong? Now, I'm your daddy. Now, you remember when the younger left, I gave him one third of the inheritance, but you got two thirds. You've got more. You say, well, that ain't good. I'll show you how far he went. Verse number 31, he said to the son, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is yours. Not only have I gave you two thirds of what belongs to you, you can have the rest of it if it'll make you happy, son. He had no excuse for his mistake. I want you to see something, though. Teenagers, we're bad about this. Are you examining yourselves and see if you're a pretender or not? I sure do hope if you're a pretender this afternoon that you'll get saved before we leave here. Oh, pretenders ain't going to heaven. Pretenders ain't going to heaven. You say, well, I've signed the cards. I've quoted the prayers. I've said the creeds. I know all that. Yeah, but it's going to take through the blood of Jesus Christ to get you there. That's the only problem we've got. Got to go through the blood. I want to show you just out of one verse, and I'll be done. Verse 29. Out of this one verse, you're going to find three things. Number one, you're going to find his focus. Let me show you what this boy's thinking. Show you what he's thinking. Let me have your Bible, son. Where was we at? 29. Listen to this. I'm going to show you where the boy's mind's at. Here we go. Let me show you where this pretender's mind's at. And he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Wonder who he's thinking about. Me, my, I. He's focused on himself. I'll show you something else. I think there's indication in there that he lied to his daddy too. Ooh, I think there is. Look at where he said, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. You know what he's saying? I ain't never disobeyed you. Now I would understand if Jesus was the moral of the story here. Well, we're talking about a little Jewish boy. All right, let's just see in here. Is anybody in here that could raise your hand and say, I have always done what my mom and daddy said? Come on, give it to me. Huh? Could you stand and say, I have never transgressed against my father's commandments? Anybody? This boy was just as flesh as you are. It lets me know he lied to his daddy. But wait a minute, it gets worse. He said in verse number 30, now listen, he's only been told that the boy is coming home. He has only been told that the boy's home. He has only been told that there's a party going on because the brothers come home. He don't know any details about the far country, would you think? But he knows a lot about it. He said in verse number 30, he said, "But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots." How'd he know? Unless he had been to the far country without daddy knowing it. Huh? Go to sleep, Johnny. All right, Dad. Love you. Love you too, son. Turn the lights out. Click. Windows raised, and out he goes. I'm going to the far country. I'm going to take my Baptist uniform off, my holy uniform off, and I'm going to the far country. And he began to peek around the places and peek around the trees and watching his brother devouring his money with harlots. How'd he know? Somebody tell me, how'd he know? Nobody told him. Great possibility. He's pretending. You see, there's something about this, teenagers. You think just because mom and daddy don't know, you're just going to get by with it. Oh, they'll never know about it. Huh? He'll reveal you, folk. He'll shout it from the housetops. He'll expose you, men, telling the truth. He could not engage in fellowship. He couldn't enjoy the music. He could not extend mercy. He had no excuse for his mistake. There'll be no end of his misery. There'll be no end of his misery. The Bible said it was meet, 31. It was meet. That's an old Elizabethan word. It was meet, meaning it was necessary. It was absolutely necessary. It was Jewish custom. When a son comes home, whether good or bad. See, prodigal is, what do they call that word that you can use it in both ways? Prodigal's not a negative term. It can be used positive too. A prodigal can be a positive term. We use the word prodigal so much in this story that we think it's negative. You can be a prodigal in a good way. So it's a what transversal, I don't know, type of word. Use it different type of ways. Oh, that's good, Ronald, universal. He's from my church. Amen. But don't get excited. He locked his own cell phone in the trunk, and when he went to look for it, it was in his back pocket. Yeah. This morning, he said it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. I believe there's enough indication in this Scripture. I've got 100 more things to say, but no time. I believe there's much more in this Scripture, even if you study it out. This boy was a pretender. You see, I can work with a man that knows he's lost. That's pretty simple, Brother Scott. The problem is the ones that think they're saved and they're lost. Have you noticed over the past 15 years maybe how they make fun of us? They call them recaps. They say, well, he's been in church all his life and he's just now getting saved. You know, oh, he's recapping. And they say stuff like that and it's funny and everybody laughs about it. But have you noticed over the past 15 years how church members are getting saved? You know what I believe is happening? As my mama used to say, this is a country term, the last load is in the laundry. I believe Christ's coming to get His church. Seems like He's been almost extending one more invitation. It's just like He's sweeping across the church one more time and saying, you better get in or I'm coming. And one more pull, almost like He's making one more pull for the church, for people in the church to get saved before He comes and gets His bride. You know, me and Brother Tall back there, I forget his name, the tall guy, Brother Slim, we'll just call him Brother Slim. We was talking back there. When we started having that conversation about Daniel Nash, things started going through my mind. And I went home back to the motel and things was going through my mind. Me and Brother Dean were sitting down together and here's what he said. He said, Brother Partain, back in Martin Luther, Protestant Reformation, he said there was a sweep, a move of the Holy Ghost of God that shook entire continents. Entire continents. Then he said the Catholic Church really raised power then and no move of the Holy Ghost for a long time. It's laid quiet for a long time. Then about the late 1800s, Charles Spurgeon, D.L. Moody days, back in those days, there came another. But it didn't shake continents, it shook communities. Chicago shook communities. And then that died out. We didn't see another revival for quite some time. And then along about the late 60s, early 70s, a lot of you remember that. I was born in 72, and I just caught a little bit of it. But I've heard my mom and daddy talk about those glory days. I've heard my daddy speak of those glory days in the late 60s, early 70s, when the Holy Spirit of God moved through a church, Lester Roloff days, moved through a church and people just fall under conviction and just fall out on the floor and try to get saved. And people just scared they're going to go to hell that night. A sweep come through the church again. Seems like we're quiet again. But here's what Brother Dean said. It went from continents to communities to churches. Churches were having revival in the late 60s, early 70s. It was the church. It wasn't communities. It wasn't continents. The church. But now, you see if this ain't the truth. This generation we're living in right now, God's putting His hand on individuals. You mark her down. I don't care if you agree with me or not, and I don't want to discuss it after church. God's putting His hands on individual men and women that are sold out. He don't have continents to work with anymore, and don't have communities, and He's barely got a church. But if an individual sell out to God, he can have all of God he wants. We was talking about when Daniel Nash died. This is what jarred my memory. That man said when Daniel Nash died, power of God died with him in that era he was in. There it is. God rested on that man that was sold out. Rested on him. Well, I hear churches having revival. If you'll search it out, you'll find out they had the right man in the right pulpit at the right time. You look at it and see if I'm not telling the truth. Young man, you're a good pianist. You have all of God you want. You know why? The throne room's empty. Nobody over there. Young people, you can have all of God you want. Ladies, you can have all of God that you want. You know why? Nobody's in His face asking for anything. Not even in the church house. Doors wide open, rooms empty. All you got to go in and say, Lord, it's me and I don't know what you want me to do, but I'm just here. And then He says, you know, I'll use that one. It's the ones that think that they know it all. You know the ones I'm talking about. I don't mean to make fun. But you ever seen evangelists do this? Even when they're young, like me and you, brother, they'll act like it's killing them to get up in the pulpit. You ever seen them do that? They get up there and like, oh, dear God, I ain't never going to make it. And then they get up there and sometimes they strut to the pulpit. It almost looks like they're floating, Brother Scott. You know what they're there to do? They're there to impress you. They want to impress you. But I like preachers when they get up like our Florida brother back there, and he just starts crying. You know what that is? It's the Holy Ghost of God humbling him so He can use him. He don't like this arrogance. And I'm not saying you have to cry every time you get up. I'm saying you've got to have the power of God on you. You write things down. You try to write pretty notes, and it's all in there, and you try to get it all lined up, and you want to impress Brother Scott, and you want Brother Andrews to be happy with you, but yet, that's not what matters. What matters is that God is honored. What matters is that what He's put on your heart comes out. Whether it makes the crowd mad, whether it makes mom and daddy's mad, whether it hair lips the devil. We've got to preach the truth. Be instant, in season, out of season. He said, worship me. He said, I want you to worship me in spirit and in truth. We talked about this last night. Spirit and in truth. Seems like there's a great problem with this. I said this last time I was here. I'll say it again to the young people. Got a great problem with this. In the South, there's a bunch of spirit, but no truth. The era I was raised in, my daddy says, we're Babdecostal. That might make some of you mad. I don't know. But what he's saying, we worship like the old Baptists used to. That's what he's saying. We don't believe the Pentecostal movement. We worship like the old Baptists used to worship. We believe in worshiping the Lord through the Holy Spirit of God. We believe that. We don't mind shouting. We don't mind praising. We don't mind running. We don't mind none of that. I come out of that. There's a lot of churches don't do that, and they'll sit you down if you do it. And that's fine, too, if you want to do that. But I'm going to leave here shouting it out. All right? But I was raised in that kind of era. I was raised in that kind of atmosphere. And down south, we're full of that. Spirit, 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 spirit. But don't nobody know what the Bible says. They don't know doctrine. They don't know what they are. They don't know who they are. All they say is, well, we just all going to heaven one day. That's just great, isn't it? They don't know what they believe. They don't know the boundary lines. They're all promise keepers now, and they're joining together, and everybody's just happy. Are you with me? But don't say amen too fast, because up north, all they know is truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. Up north, they don't have a lot of spirit. They're dry, they're stale. You say anything about the word anointing? Lord, don't say that. Good Lord. Don't say Holy Ghost. Say Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus called him a ghost. He said, well, you offend people now. And up north, it's dry. I've been in the services. It's dry. They're different than Southerners. And there's a divider line right around in there. I would say the Mason-Dixon line, but you'd get mad. But right around in there, down here we got spirit. Up there they got truth. And no spirit. You know what we need? We need to come together. We need to know what the Bible says, and we need to tell and preach the truth, but we need to have the Spirit of God arouse us in the services. If we're going to be dry, I'd rather go to Six Flags than I had come to a dry service. Are you with me? Yes, I said it in a minute. I'd rather go ride a roller coaster. I'd get more of a thrill out of the screen machine than I had going to most dry Baptist churches. That's the truth. That's the truth. It's the profile of a pretender. Are you pretending? Has the Holy Spirit of God grabbed your heart and said, hey, you're a pretender, old boy. You're a pretender, girl. You know exactly what He's talking about. You know exactly how you act when you leave here. You know exactly what kind of music you listen to. As soon as you dismiss, you're going to go get in that car and crank it up. I've already heard some of it. Yeah, I've already heard some of it. My wife went to the car, and there's a young man out there playing rock and roll music in church parking lot. He said, I wouldn't have said that. Well, maybe it'll help him. Maybe his mom and daddy will find out about it and get right with the Lord. I don't know. But he's got to have some help because he's heading down the wrong road. You say, oh, you just preached on that. Oh, no. I told you I was going to preach on this long before I ever heard that. But there's a young man out there in the parking lot listening to rock music. Rock music right there. Right there in the parking lot. What's wrong? He needs help. And great possibility he might have been hanging around some of y'all and you're listening to it together. Are you pretending? Pretenders ain't going to heaven. Pretenders is not going to heaven. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but church membership. No. Lord, I've joined every church in Georgia. I've been baptized 8 or 9 times. That ain't what gets you to heaven. Going through the blood or you ain't going. Why don't you stop pretending today? Why don't today be the day you stop pretending and just get not a Christian experience, not turning over a new leaf. Let's use an old King James word. Born again. And if you're from the South and you're like my old dad, he puts an ED on the word born. Born again. Some of you need to get born again. Huh? This morning. But Scott, I want you to come. I want you to give the invitation this afternoon.